I see that Trevor is still online. Trevor, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here for just a little bit longer.
Okay, we'll ask a question that may be directed to both of you then. Given the recent outbreaks of such as what occurred with cantaloupes in Colorado, how can the industry respond to better address those food safety issues? And was the response adequate, or what else could be happening?
So, very, very quickly, there was a variety of responses due to, you know, both the recognition as the FDA investigation details came out as the specific events that appear to have contributed to the listeriosis outbreak became more broadly known, and that response really, I would say, is still in its fullest extent being developed. But a number of things happened from pulling together the industry, regulators, and, you know, extension and academics with some experience in this area to, you know, really reassess and evaluate both the specific food safety management practices, the need and recognition for enhanced commodity-specific guidance in the future, as well as a real key need in broader education and support for growers to get out information related to food safety management practices and the science of risk assessment and hazard analysis that already exists for that particular commodity so that implementation is applied in a more uniform way. So they basically, as Marco discussed, taken a bit of the model, at least for California, of the LGMA, working towards a similar marketing order for cantaloupes that would include both California and Arizona, enhancing the you know, details of those documents and audit protocols, and going through that process, as well as stepping up and supporting some key targeted research. So that it's still going on, it's still being developed, but a number of very rapid responses were taken to improve the coverage of gaps for the whole melon industry.
Thank you. And while we answer, while we ask the final question or two, can you please respond to the questions that appear on your screen and give us some feedback about the today's session and also about the conference if you happen to join any of the sessions that were presented earlier. Marco, do you have anything to add to Trevor's response?
No, I think that he's right in that sense, and most of these initiatives have been very well received by industry leaders, and they're working in cooperation with several different states. So I think that's an interesting way of interacting with different people with different necessities.
Okay, thank you. I have a quick question I'm not clear about. Producers in the U.S., if they sell less than 500,000, are exempted from compliance, good agricultural practices. But does that exemption, how are foreign producers based out of the U.S. that are exporting less than $500,000?
That's a good question. And you know, if you
well, don't forget there's a distance issue. As part of that, it's not just the sales, gross sales.
There is a limit
okay,
of what's
thanks.
Local, but also it says 500. The bill actually says $500,000 facilities. We're not really. I'm not really sure if that means producers or if it means processors. But most people who sell products from overseas that we import are working with somebody who's probably already requiring some sort of good agricultural practice certification process. At least that's the experience for most fruits and vegetables being imported from Texas. So I will say that the largest majority of those come with some sort of a good agricultural practices management, not necessarily all of the requirements in terms of traceability and all the documentation required, but they do already come with some of that.
Maybe Romero, if I could just very quickly add, you know, that of course is exemption from regulation under an FDA rule, not exemption necessarily from implementing some type of GAPS or food safety plan. And what I certainly have seen in California and across the U.S., you know, where I've had those contacts, is that retailers are increasing and elevating the expectations within their local grown approved supplier base. So it's translating into movement to elevate more uniform and broad implementation of programs across the board, whether you're, you know, in that exempt category for FDA or not.
Okay, thanks. And one final question. What liability issues from product contamination should producers be aware of? And, from a risk management perspective, are there ways to mitigate these liabilities other than GAPS, than using GAPS?
I'll start the answer, and then hopefully Marco can add and embellish. But strictly speaking, that's a bad pun. There's strict liability, concerns. If there's contamination or if, product, is shown to cause harm, you're strictly liable, and it doesn't matter, what happened. That's one level, and again, that's what the preventive control programs are trying to address, is to minimize the likelihood that could occur. Having those programs in place, I think, protects an individual business from any sort of criminal liability and negligence. And, of course, that, I think, is completely within your control.
Okay, thank you, Trevor. Marco, anything to add?
No, I think that rounds it up.
Okay, well, thank you both, Trevor and Marco, for two excellent presentations and a lot of good information. I think this is a topic that will take even more importance as we move into the future. The slide on your screens gives you a summary of today's sessions, and we invite you to revisit some of these in our website, the Ag and Uncertain Times website, and use the information for your educational programming as you please. Again, Ag in Uncertain Times website has recordings of the webinars, the presenter's slide set, listing of all the speakers and contact information, and also a discussion of other webinar topics that we've covered in the past. If you have any area or topic of today's webinars or past webinars that you'd like to see addressed in the future, please let us know, and you can do that by using the Q&A chat pod on the left of your screen or by sending us an email at the email address that appears on your screen. That is westrme@wsu.edu, and we'll appreciate any feedback that you can help us, that you can provide to help us plan future educational activities. We also have a file share file. This file is a PDF file that includes links to all the websites and links that were used in today's programs. We encourage you to download it, and then you can access all the files directly from your computer by from that file that you can download it into your own computer. That is all we have for today. We thank you, and we hope you really enjoyed the presentations and that you found all the programs today and our web conference, the speed of change, as informative as we wanted it to be. Thank you, and you have a great day.